Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Already, the Lord has made you a change maker, a leader. And everything you need, the Lord grant unto you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you at this time and bless your name. You gathered us together, not around a man, but around yourself. You created us. You are recreating us. And you want us to go forth and make a change everywhere we find ourselves. Lord, we give you a chance. Do it in every life. Do it through every life. Every man, every woman. Our leaders already in the government. Our leaders in the Islamic section, in the Christian section. Our leaders everywhere, men and women. You've raised us up already. Lord, we're going forth. We're doing it. Our country will not be the same again. Confirm it, Lord, in your power. In Jesus' name, we pray. Another amen. God bless you. You can sit down. I show appreciation and I honor all our leaders in this place tonight, and all those who have been with us from Thursday until today, all the men, all the women, all our leaders from this section and that section, and the speaker tonight, Alhaji, I don't know the other name, Alhaji what? Aliyu, wonderful. That's enough. A large good man. And everything will latch tonight. I just want now to wrap everything up. I'm not going to read too much. I'll do the reading when I come back. Are you coming back yourself? So tonight, we're looking at instructive pictures of change makers leadership. Picture. Actually, we think in pictures. When I say a dog, you don't think in your mind, D-O-G. You just visualize a dog. If I mention a lion, you don't think L-I-O-N. You think in pictures. You see the picture right there. If I mention Mr. Governor, the executive governor of the state, you don't spell his name, you just see his face. So we think in scriptures. And that's the reason why we're going to look at some pictures now to get instruction and to have a leading. If that is the picture of a leader, that's what I ought to be, and you will be. The first picture I come to is the picture of the shepherd. The shepherd is a leader. A leader is a shepherd. And this, number one, I talk of the portrait of the seeking shepherd. The shepherd knows he has sheep, he has people he's governing, he has people he's providing for, he has people he is leading. What do we learn about the shepherd? The shepherd goes before the rest of the people. As an example, as a pathfinder, as the way shower, and as the one that breaks the back of whatever may hurt the rest of the team. And so we have the shepherd. And God talks about that as a shepherd, the portrait of a shepherd. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. And I'm reading from verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 4. Here is what it says. And I will set up shepherds over them. Over. That means the shepherd is above the people he leads. It's above them in understanding, above in vision, above in strength, above in determination, above in everything, because it's over them. They are not the same in vision. He casts the vision and he shows the people to follow. They are not the same in the roadmap to know how to get there. He knows how to get there and he leads them. They are not the same in physical strength. He has a higher strength, a greater strength, greater knowledge, and then all he needs to be able to go on before the rest of the people he has. And he's also a provider. He knows the needs of the people. If he's a Christian leader, he knows that the people he leads, they need to have the life of Christ in them. Eternal life, everlasting life. They need to have the strength of the Lord in them. They need to have the grace of God. They need to have the vision, the revelation. And they need to have the knowledge of what it takes to get from here to there. A shepherd. Now, a shepherd can be a local shepherd over a few people. Can be a person that has a wider scope nationally. Or may even go beyond a nation. May go to the continent. Or it may be an aspect of the world that he is a leader on. And God said, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. We feed the people appropriate food, balanced food, that will give them strength and make them to have everything, the courage, the confidence that they need to move on in the path they ought to go. And it says, they shall fear no more. The people that the shepherd leads, that he guides, that he shows the way, the people that the shepherd is saying, follow me, it says, when he leads them well, when he leads them according to the dictates of the word of God, they shall fear no more. That means then that the shepherd himself will not be a fearful person. He will not be a timid person. Somebody that has the thing to say, but he's so timid and he's so fearful, he cannot talk. That cannot be a shepherd. A shepherd must have courage, confidence. He knows the way he's going and he's leading the people, and he does that courageously. He does that confidently. And it says, when we see his example, that he's not fearful, he's not timid, he's not shaking and shivering, we're told that the people that are led will fear no more. And then it says, or be dismayed, confused, shattered, not knowing what to do and where to go. Neither shall they be lacking, because the Lord has said so, and the Lord who appointed them, who appointed the shepherds, is able to make them the people they ought to be. I'm looking at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. It says, and I will give you pastors The same word. Pastor, shepherd, leader, the same. I will give you shepherds according to mine heart. According to my heart. Somebody that will know the mind of God. What's the mind of God for the family? What's the mind of God for this congregation? What's the mind of God for this local assembly? What's the mind of God for this stage? A shepherd according to his mind. And it's through that mind, the mind that does well, the mind that thinks well, the mind that wants the best for the people. He gives the shepherd that same mind. That's why the Bible says, have the mind of Christ. He is the great shepherd, gracious shepherd. And because we follow him and he makes us under shepherds, under him, we have that same mind. The Lord said, the shepherd he appoints, the pastors appoint, that it will be according to his own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge. Shall feed you with knowledge. The knowledge we ought to have. A leader in any corporation knows what the corporation is all about. What we want to have. What we want to achieve. And he interacts with the members and the doers and the shakers and makers in that corporation. And he gives them knowledge. What are we supposed to do? What's our goal for this week? What's our goal for this month? What is our goal for this year? And ultimately, why are we here? And he's able to tell them clearly, understandably, this is why we're here. That's what a father does in the family. That's what a mother does in the family. That's what a teacher does in the class. That's what the headmaster, the principal, that's what he does in the school. He has the knowledge why those children are there. And he gives them appropriate knowledge and understanding. What's the difference? Knowledge, understanding, the application of the knowledge that we have learned. We're able to apply that. So then, number one, we have the portrait of a seeking shepherd. Look at number two. Number two is the preservative in symbolic salt. Salt. Why do we put the word symbolic there? We know the real salt. The table salt we use in our homes. But now, we also have people that are regarded as salt. So salt then becomes a symbol representing the men, the leaders we're talking about. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, salt, very good, white, pure, no mixture of sand with it. It's in the original state, but as long as that salt is in the bottle, locked up, closed up, it does nothing to people on earth. As long as the leader is shut up, is afraid of the people, he cannot come out, he does not want to come out, he does not want to interact with the people. Why? Yes, it's reason, but he's locked up. As long as the salt is in the bottle, it was not hard. There's no use for that salt. Salt, to be useful, must interact with all the other ingredients, must sprinkle that salt. And it is our interaction with the people around, with our neighbors, our interaction with people who live around us, the people who suffer. And what do you think of a great medical doctor, MD? And he has all the knowledge. The only thing is, he doesn't come out to see patients. He's just there, locked up. All the knowledge will not help anyone. What do you think of a teacher that is locked up there and will never come out? Is a very quiet, secretive, private citizen. You'll not do any good for salt to do good, for the leader to do good, and for the one on top there to have good influence on everyone. He must interact with the people. That's why leaders will make themselves available. Yet, even though the leader is available, he moderates that, because too much salt will spoil the whole soup. If the only thing we have there, salt, we'll not even be able to eat it. And then sometimes it'll give you another problem. We cannot talk about that now. But ye are the salt of the earth. Then it said, but if the salt have lost its savor, its saltiness, there are times that we were supposed to be leaders, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we comport ourselves, and the way our families are, we lose respect because we're too common. And the way we talk, all the distinctives of saltiness, everything is gone. There are leaders, that's what they call themselves, their jokes are negative. They say things we shouldn't say outside. They tell stories that are on the verge of obscenity, bad language, dirty language. And they have interactions that are not really appropriate for a leader, a leading man or a leading woman. We must keep that distinctive, because you are the salt of the earth. And sometimes when emotions get the better part of you, something happened that you think shouldn't have happened, and you don't know the reason why. And then you blow it out publicly. You are angry. And if somebody is near you, you allow the anger to pass through the palm of your hand. And then you slap somebody. Right there, you lose the saltiness. You lose the characteristic. You lose the thing that ought to be in the life of a leader. I pray you'll not be like that. It says, wherefore shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Good for nothing. Now, if somebody looked at you and, you know, maybe hit you, he's lost the control, he's lost his temper, and he looks at you and he says, you are good for nothing. Would you accept that? You like that? You like your teachers? When you get to school, just look at you coming from the assembly, good for nothing. You like that? But the Lord said, if you lose your saltiness, if you lose your savor, if you lose the character, the characteristic, the virtue you ought to have as a leader, you drink, you are drunk, and the people you are leading, they see that Master is drunk today. Don't go near. Or they see that there's some other kind of characteristic, that your life is immoral. Your life is not pure. You lost your characteristic as a leader, as a respectable, honorable man or woman. So it says, now it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Those are people, they may still retain the title, the position of leadership, but they do not have what it takes to keep on leading the people. In 2 Kings chapter 2, look at this story. Now you understand, ye are the salt of the earth. In 2 Kings chapter 2, reading there from verse 19, and the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground is barren. The situation, the buildings, wonderful. And all the scenery, wonderful. Infrastructure, wonderful. But the water there was not good, and the land was barren. What were they to do? They came to the prophet Elisha, a leader also. Because a leader can be a prophet can be a leader. A preacher can be a leader, the leader can be a preacher. A proclaimer, a teacher, an instructor can be a leader, and the leader must be an instructor. So they came to him. What was he going to do? Look at verse 20. In verse 20, it says, and he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. It's telling us it's an objective lesson. Things are bad in society. Things are bad in the community. And we want a change. We want, let me say, a salty shepherd. We want a salty senator. We want a salty personality. He has the characteristic of salt. His life is pure and white. His life is dependable. He has the character, the charisma, the characteristics of a real person that can help. That's the salt we're talking about. And then he says, and they brought it to him. Verse 21. In verse 21, it says, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters. And there's no point. The water is flowing from the spring, from the source. And then you go to the, to the other part, and then you put salt there. It will be washed away. Go to the source. Whenever we're talking of change, we're not just talking about people that are not decision makers. The people who are not at the source. The people who are not at the spring of the water. Now you understand when it says water, Revelation gives us a sea of people like water. You know, sometimes in our language, we say, those people are very many. I saw a sea of hairs, because the sea represents the people as well. And so Elisha took that cruse of salt to change things, to turn things around, to become a preservative. He went to the very source, to the spring, and he put the salt there. I pray you'll get to the spring. You'll get to the source. And the people you talk to are not just people, on the street. It's good to talk to them on the street. But you need to get to the people that are decision makers and sprinkle some salt. Say some good things. Just show some strategy and develop some things that they can see up there that this is the way. And when you do it from the top there, it will get to the rest of us, and our country will change in Jesus' name. And then he said, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. He didn't go to every branch, every stream, just at the source. And because I put the salt at the source, all these waters, all these local governments, all these streams, all these arms of the government, everything now, what's coming from the source touches everyone. I've healed these waters. It says, they shall not be from henceforth, there shall not be any more death or barren land. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
As you go back to your family, remember, you are now a leader. Remember, you are now salt. And you go there, now salt is different from pepper. And if something happens, anytime something happens you don't like, I will show him what? Why don't you show them salt? You will not show anybody pepper anymore. Because you know, when you show them pepper or you show them onion, and then their eyes are watering, they will not listen to you. Remove all the pepper you'll be showing them. Remove all the onions you'll be showing them. I am going out to show salt. Where are you? Salt in Jesus' name. We're coming to number three now. Number three, we're talking about the performance of the Son. S-U-N. The performance of the Son. The leader is like the Son. Look at Judges chapter 5. In Judges chapter 5, I'm looking at verse 7. It says, the inhabitants of the villages deceased because they were so afraid they went to hide themselves. Deceased in Israel. And then it says, until that I, Deborah, I arose. And then I arose as a mother in Israel, as a leader. I arose. When everyone receded, went to their dungeon, went to their caves, we know what's happening. We cannot come out. We know what's happening. We're not having the courage to face what is happening. The people who are there, like status quo, we're suffering, we're there. We're hungry, we're there. We're perplexed, we're dismayed, we're there. The enemies, they were encroaching on them. But a woman rose up. Any woman there in the house tonight? I said, any woman in the house tonight, you will rise up. Some years ago, when I was very young, I always saw that the people who drove the taxis, they were men. Those who drove the small bus, they were all men. And of course, the big buses, you can tell. The person at the steering there, they were all men. Because that's man's world. In the past, any time I, enter the airplane, I'll be sure. The pilot is, tell me, a man. And all the things the people did, men took over. But Deborah said, at my own time, tell me your own time, you will be a leader. You are already a leader. And she said, when they all went away and there was nobody, no man, no woman, she said, I rose up. And you know, she gave herself, because she was the one talking, I rose up a mother in Israel. If you don't call yourself mother, nobody will call you mother. Say you are a mother. Maybe you're not married yet, but say, I am a mother. What you say will come to pass. Maybe you are married and there is no child yet. Say, I am a mother. The Lord confirm it upon your life in Jesus. And so he said, I rose up a mother in Israel. That is a leader. Now look at the last verse there, verse 31. In verse 31, I'm reading now from, you know, okay, let me say everything. It says, so let all thine enemies perish. Now, didn't say let all my enemies perish. Leaders don't pray for enemies to perish, because all those ones who are called enemies were also to take care of them. But if they are enemies of God and they fight God, that's between them and God. It says, but let them that love him be as the sun. Them, human beings. Them, men. Them, women. Them, Deborah. Them, David. Them, the people that love the Lord. It says, let them be the sun when it goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years under the leadership of Deborah. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5. Reading from verse 14, it says, ye are the light of the world. Those are leaders. Ye are the light of the world. Before a leader comes in, we're confused. Everywhere is dark. Where do we go? What do we take? How do we solve this problem? How do we put things right? There's no light. There's no leader. There's no sun. There's no leader. And while the confusion is there, a leader comes in. As the leader comes in, light comes in. The leader comes in, solution comes in. It's not just that, you know, I'm a leader. When you come in and light shows up, you come in and solution shows up, you come in. The things that we have been grappling with in darkness, everything now has light. That is leadership. And the performance of the sun, you perform. You do something. You say something. You solve a problem. And you put things right. And all the puzzling things, you're able to put them right. And I see, because the light is there, I see. The light is there, I see. But if nobody ever says, I see, you remain in darkness. A leader has not showed up. We have the performance of the shining sun. It says, for ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Now, after we finish here tonight, and you go back home, and you do exactly as you have always done, you enter your room, you close the door, till tomorrow, good night. You wake up in the morning, you come out, but really you don't come out because you don't touch anybody's life. You don't talk to anyone. You don't shine the light in the life of everyone. You will be like that candle that is lit, but you are covered under a bushel. Nothing will cover you up anymore. But it says, but we put it on the candlestick and it gives light unto, if you have your Bible there, tell me the next word. He giveth light unto. You know what we've been doing? I show light to the Christians, not even all the Christians. I don't go to that one, because they are not in my denomination. I only show the light I have. I only discuss what I have. I only discuss my opinion. I only bring the solution to the little people who are in my clique, in my enclave. But now, it says, it shows light to all. Everybody say all. Everyone. And the light is not shy for anybody. The light is not ashamed of the light, the shining that he has. It shows the light unto all that are in the house. And now in verse 16, it says, let your light so shine. The light will shine. The light of knowledge, what you have learned all these days, and everything you knew before, it will shine before people. And you'll drive ignorance away from your community in Jesus' name. So it says, let your light so shine before men. Are you following? Let your light so shine behind men. You know, there are people, you know, I'm a Christian from my heart. Show it now. No, I don't like publicity. So my light shines behind people. Come on, I'm reading. I want your light to shine in front of me so I can see what I'm reading. I'm walking. I want your light to shine before me so I can see the path I'm taking. There's no use if your light is only shining behind men. When we're not there, you can talk. When we're not there, you can explain this and that to the people that are not there. It's shining before them. But now, bring the light to the front. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then it says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My light will shine. Confirmed in Jesus' name. Number four now, we're looking at number four, is the perception of a superior seer. A superior seer. You know, in the olden days, the people we call prophets, they were called seers. Why? Because they could see things that ordinary people cannot see. It's like the X-ray machine that you put yourself there and your intestines and your bones and everything we couldn't have detected or seen on our own. That X-ray machine becomes a seer. And then they show you the picture and they say, okay, that's what I had, this, this and that. Or maybe you go for scan. And the scanning machine, what you could not see naturally by yourself. And it's the machine that brings everything out, and now you can see. And when you see, you are able to deal with the problem the moment you see the problem. So we're told in 1 Samuel chapter 9, it says in verse 9, it says, before time, that is before this time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. Let us go to the seer. The people that see what I cannot see, they see the future that I cannot see, they see the plan that I cannot see. A leader must be like that, a seer who knows what we don't know, who can see what we cannot see. And because he can see what we cannot see, he can make the road map to get to where we need to get to. And so they used to call him a seer. For that is now, he that is now called a prophet was before this time called a seer. And look at this important thing now in Isaiah chapter 42. I'm reading here from verse 19. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 19. Who is blind but my servant? My servant. A leader but is blind. Who is deaf but my messenger whom I have seen? Think about a leader. A servant, even servant of God, he cannot see, he cannot hear. What that means is, look at this initiative that the Lord himself is raising up. Change Makers International. Say that with me. There are servants of God. There are leaders in society. All they're looking at is their preconceived idea. And all they're thinking of, this is strange. How can Pastor so-and-so sit on the same platform with Madam so-and-so? What's he trying to do? I'm not trying to do anything. I just see what you have not seen. And I hear what you have not heard. That only one hand cannot wash your hand clean. But when you bring this hand, that hand, and you put together, you will wash, it will be clean. Our country will be clean. And so, there are leaders that cannot see. There are leaders that cannot hear. But we are not going to allow their blindness to stop us. You know, you are going somewhere, and then on the street, you see a blind man. Does the blind man stop you? You're going on the way, you are going to the market, you want to go and buy something, and then you see a deaf man. Does that stop you? Open your eyes, keep on moving. Open your ears and keep on moving. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? I sent. When God sends you to a position of power, a position of authority where you can make a definite change, but you are blind, but he has sent you, and you sit there tight on that seat. Other people that can see, you're not allowed them to take your place. I am the leader here. I am the whoever here. And yet you cannot see. It will be dangerous for the rest of the people you are leading. I pray the Lord will open our eyes. It says, who is blind as he that is perfect? Underline that in your Bible. Who is blind as he that is perfect? Can I remind you? A woman from Syrophoenicia came to Jesus. The daughter was being tormented of the devil. And she came and said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. None of the disciples went to her and said, okay, what do you want? They didn't counsel her. They didn't interview her. Then they told Jesus, send this woman away. He's crying at us. They were leaders, apostles, but they were blind in that area. Perfect. Their sins were forgiven. They had the joy of salvation. Their names were written in heaven, but they were blind. And eventually, the woman didn't mind them. If you're a leader and the people in need don't mind you, something is wrong. And then eventually, that passed. Jesus helped her. And everything came to normal in her family. Now, apostles, saved, sanctified, baptized in the Holy Ghost. God said, Peter, come on. Get up. Go to the house of Cornelius and go and show him the light. Peter said, no way. He was more righteous than God. Blind apostle. And the Lord said, what I have cleansed, don't call common, unclean. He said, God, I'm telling you, I never associated with Gentiles in the past, and I will not backslide. He was telling God that God wanted him to backslide if he went to the house of Cornelius. And the Lord kept pushing pressure on him. I pray God will put pressure on you. until your eyes are open. And so eventually, Cornelius sent the people. And they were at the door, and the Holy Ghost said, "Please, Peter, people are waiting for you at the door. I am the one that sent them. Rise up and go with them." With all the pressure here and there, he rose up and he got to the house of Cornelius. He said to Satchel, "Before I talk, you know, it is not lawful for me to be here after all that revelation, after all the pressure, after everything God had said." He still told Cornelius, he said, "You know you are cast out, and you know that you're untouchable. You know that I, the pure, perfect apostle of God, am not supposed to be here." Thank God Cornelius did not mind him. He just told him his story. And then Peter went in there. All the people were waiting. And so he spoke to them. While he was still talking, you know, he was going to go through step one, how a Gentile can become a Jew before they can see the favor of God, how this will happen, that will happen. The Holy Ghost interrupted him and gave them the Holy Ghost. And Peter was surprised. Thank you for your clapping. And Peter was surprised, and he said, "Can anybody forbid water that these be not baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" He was blind, but the Lord opened his eyes. And he says, "Who is blind but the Lord's servant?" I pray that all the scales in our eyes, the Lord will take away in Jesus' name. We're looking at number five now. Number five, we're looking at the personality of a steadfast servant. A steadfast, that's who a leader is. A leader is a servant. And even Jesus said, "I am among you a seed that serveth. I came to serve. I didn't come to lodge anything on you." There are people, if they have a little chance to handle something, it's like they're the boss, that they're all in all, and they forget we're there to serve. I am here to serve. Not only here in Port Harcourt, I am here in the world to serve. How about you? I say that about you. And I don't dictate the people I serve. Anyone that Christ will serve, I'm here. Anyone that Christ will help, I'm available. Anywhere that, you know, we may not even know them. Some years ago, there was a girl. She was, I think, from two or from three. But there was a problem at home, that the father accused the mother of being a witch and drove the mother away. And also told the girl, "You have no place here." Drove the girl away. And, you know, people were passing, going up and down. And somebody came to tell me, "We saw a girl on the street. She was just standing there. Vehicles were passing, looking here and there." I said, "Why did you leave her there? Bring her." And they brought her. I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "My daddy drove me out. I didn't know the daddy, didn't know the mommy, and didn't know her." And I said, "In which class are you now?" She mentioned the class. And then I sent her back to that school and paid the school fees. That year, she went on. She passed. Good girl. Brilliant girl. I didn't ask, "Will you come and join Deeper Life if I do this for you?" But that wasn't the intention. This was somebody in need. Then she passed the school search. Then she went to NCE. When she finished NCE, the father heard about her, that the fellow, the girl, the daughter, that they thought will just commit suicide and die. That child was going up and up and up. And the father sent for her, and the father said, "You are my daughter." And brought her back home until the girl married. Now she's having a happy family life. I didn't check up. Are you a Muslim? Are you a Christian? Will you come to deeper life if I help you? No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is, here is a creature of God, created by God, and has a need. And you are going to fulfill that need. I said you are going to fulfill that need. Look at Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He came to serve. I come to serve. You come to title or no title, label or no label, this side or that side of the divide. You come to serve, have that mind, and God will bless your service. We go to number six here. Number six, we're looking at the profitability of supporting staff. The profitability of supporting staff. Ordinarily, we know staff, when you see older men and they have a walking stick, and they can lean on that walking stick to support their feet, that's a staff. Sometimes you have, a leader in the government, in traditional ruler, he has a staff of office, that staff. But I'm now talking about the staff in a sense of a subordinate, a worker, a person who walks with me, who walks with us. And he is a member of staff. And he looks at himself and he says, I want to make a positive contribution to the work that is going on under the leadership of this person. That is what we call staff, a staff member. A teacher in a school, staff. Workers in the corporation, staff. And they should be supportive staff. Don't break down that institution. Don't scatter that work there. Be supportive in what you do. In Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, about to die, he blessed both the son of Joseph, the sons of Joseph, and we're told that he worshipped, leaning upon the staff, upon the top of his staff. A staff member is somebody dependable. We can lean on him. We can rest on him. We can hang the plan, the project, the roadmap, and the place we're going, what we want to achieve, can hang it on him because he is dependable as a supporter of the vision. If you are working in a place, you're staff there, and your leadership role is that you do what you do in such a way that you are dependable. You'll be dependable in Jesus' name. Any good thing happening there, you will promote that good thing. And good things, as you promote the good thing will also happen to you in Jesus' name. Look at this in 2 Kings chapter 7. I'm reading from verses 1 and 2. 2 Kings chapter 7. Look at here from verse 1. And it said, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. It says, thus says the Lord to the people. Tomorrow, it says, about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. At this man now who is going to talk, he was a member of staff. And there had been famine for years in that place that they were doing some atrocious things to be able to survive. And now the prophecy came, and the prophecy said, tomorrow the famine will be over. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, then a lord on whose hand the king leaned. That's the star. Somebody will lean on. Somebody will say, what do you think about this? What's your opinion? How can we make this really work? Look at what the man of God has said. How can we have this executed? And what do we need to do to prepare? Like Joseph did in Egypt with Pharaoh. But this man, he answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He doubted. Staff members should not be doubters. Staff members should not be deceivers. Staff members should be people that support. That's why we're there. And that is the role of your leadership. But this staff doubted and he voiced it out. And so, behold, that's what Elisha now said, thou shalt see it with thine eyes. Say amen. Amen. You know, if something good is happening, and I know whether I support or I don't support, it's going to work. It's going to bear fruit in wisdom, even selfishly. I'll get that, because if I'm not there, it will work. If I'm there, it will work. And if I'm there and I support it and I lift it up, I'll get some credit. It will be wise of us to say, since it's going to work any with or without me, I will join, be a good member of staff. I will make it work. Are you there? You will join. You will make it work. Then your name will enter into the book that you are part of the people that made it work. Because this vision is going to work. But in his own case, thou shalt see with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. I reject that one. I will eat thereof. I will be a partaker. When they call the people who made this dream to come to pass, I say, hey, I am here. I am here. This dream will work in your life. It will work in your family. And the Lord will reward you in Jesus' name. We come to number 7 now. Number 7, we're looking at the purposefulness of selfless soldier, of a selfless soldier. We're going to take this. You know, when a soldier is confronted with a problem, he says, I'm a soldier. The problem will not defeat me. I will defeat the problem. No problem will defeat you. We will defeat the problem together in Jesus' name. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading now from verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're looking at verse 3. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen. I see that spirit of the unconquerable soldier in you. Amen. You know, the rain started from morning. I've been falling and falling and falling. You know, just drop. Some people, that little drop will conquer them. If they had somewhere they were going, the drop will stop them. If they had, you know, change makers conference, they want to hear the final message, that drop will stop them. But you, as one of our leaders said, that you're resilient. Resilient. That means when something pushes you, you push back at that thing. And that is the way we're going to approach this dream. That somebody, something comes and pushes you. No, I'm at the center of the dream. nothing will push you away. And you will go on record, and Port Harcourt will go on record that here we started a good thing, and that good thing is going all over the globe. Congratulations. Shake my hand. Congratulations. I say, shake my hand. Congratulations. You'll be a soldier. And this project that gets up now will continue and continue through you. I say, through you. You know, if you didn't know my age, like, you know, they write it everywhere. If you ask a primary school child, how old is Papa Kumoi? They will tell you. But if you didn't know my age, you see that the strength I have is just like yours. I stand like you stand. I walk like you walk. And now there's a vision. And somebody says, old man, get aside. And somebody says, Papa, they said, no, they're not talking to me. Are they talking to me? No. The strength of a horse. The vision of an eagle. If you want to run, rise up and follow that we are going to do it together. And no matter what comes, no matter what goes, we are running together. You will achieve. You will achieve. My daughter, you will achieve. My son, you will achieve. You and I together. Change Makers International. Change Makers International. Open your mouth and tell the Lord, oh Lord, here I am. I give myself as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and say, Lord, here I am. I am part of this. I will not relent. I will not go back. I will do what the Lord has called me to do. I am part of this. Come into the leadership. Follow all these pictures. Follow through. Follow through. Be a leader, a shepherd, the salt, the sun, be a seer, be a servant. Be a member of staff, you are. And then be a soldier. Nothing will stop you. The microphone is there.